All right, are you ready? There's like three people ready. Let's try that again. Are you ready? Yes. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. So a couple things. Which Sunday is a good Sunday to invite someone to church? Every Sunday. We have a little invite cards. Make sure you grab them in the lobby. It had some people that you were like, man, I wish they were here. That worship was so good. I wish they were here. That sermon, it had some points in there that really challenged my life. I wish someone was here. Man, I love the power of the gospel. It changed my life. I wish someone was here. And so make sure you're inviting your friends and family. Connected to inviting, we know that people attending church leads to life transformation. Your life gets better when you gather around with the body of Christ, with other fellow believers. Our life is made better when we are together. And one of the effects of that, one of the great things of that, is that people decide for the first time, I'm going to follow Jesus. And so I'm really excited to announce to you, we haven't done this in over a year, but we're going to have our first baptism service since I've been here. Isn't that exciting? We're going to be doing that in August. And we've had a number of people who have chosen to follow Christ since we've been here. And I'm excited to see many, many more. Baptisms are a really special way to do that. You see, baptisms are this public announcement that I follow Christ. And so what we encourage everyone who's getting baptized to do, invite your friends and family that are people I'm with, God, but near to you. And because it's this declaration, here's the new group of people I'm with, here's what God's doing in our church, and I'm choosing to follow Christ. And you say, well, what is baptism exactly? That's a great question. I'd love to tell you. Baptism is something that Jesus actually did. That's why we do it. We follow Jesus' example. And Jesus was baptized. Baptized means to be immersed in water. And so just like Jesus, he was dunked under the water and then comes back up. We do the same thing. And it's a symbol. It's a beautiful symbol. It means that our old way of life is dead, just like Christ was dead and went into the grave. And then we resurrect with Christ. We have a new life. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He doesn't just fix your life. He doesn't just give you a redo. He makes something new out of your life. That's one of the most exciting messages I can tell people. Because I know before Christ, my life was not what I wanted. But he gave me a new life and everything was different. I was still me. I was still my personality. But there was something else going on. There was something new that happened. So baptism declares that. And so what happens is when your friends and family that are far from God but new to you, doing what change in your life? And when you bring them here and they're seeing the body of Christ, they kind of start getting the picture of what God's doing and what it's all about. And when they see you get baptized, they think, well, if they can do that, well, then I can do that. I could follow Christ. I could do these things. And so it's a really exciting time. So who gets baptized? Great question. The people who get baptized are people who have made a decision that I'm going to follow Christ. So you have to have made that decision. It's not just for anybody. It's for those who said, I made a decision to follow Christ. That's why we say it's a public announcement that I'm a believer. I follow Jesus. So if you just made that decision and all of a sudden you decided to follow Christ, it's time to get baptized. If maybe you were going through life and you had decided to follow Christ, maybe you even got baptized at one point, but you stopped following Jesus. You were just doing your own thing. Then all of a sudden you made another decision. I'm following Christ. You can get baptized connected with that as well. We want it to be a declaration where people had seen you living one way, now they see you living a new way. And that's what baptism is all about. So to make it really easy, you can actually just text in to our number here, 408-539-2986. Text the word baptism, and that Sunday started with the sign-up process. I'll reach out to you. We'll begin talking to you about what it is. And the date is Sunday, August 13th. So text baptism, 408-539-2986. If you don't feel like doing it right now, just take a little screenshot of what you see on the screen there, and that'll get you going. So, all right, let me ask you a question. Everybody in the room, this is group participation moment. How many of you would say, I believe in the power of prayer? Just raise your hands. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe heaven comes to earth when we pray. Yes, all the hands are up in the room. That's why you're here. You believe in the power of prayer. Let me ask you, by show of hands, how many of you would also say, I believe I need to pray more? I should be praying more. I would like to pray more. I'd like to pray more. Isn't that funny? We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer brings heaven to earth, yet we're not doing it at the level we should. And it's this constant problem. I say the same thing. This is not like I'm doing it and you're not. It's like, no. This is a problem that we all have. We have this issue where we believe prayer brings heaven to earth, yet we're not praying enough. We're not praying big prayers or bold prayers. We're just missing it. Why is that? Well, I think a lot of people think, well, I'm just not that good at it. Like, sometimes you'll be in a group and someone will pray and it's like, man, Are they like professional? Like, do they get paid to pray like this? Like, I can't believe they pray, and at the end of their prayer, you're like, well, I'm not going after that. Like, I can't top that prayer. And we kind of think a lot of times that prayer has this point system. Like, you get points, extra points for doing certain things. Like, if you pull out of a scripture verse, like, Lord, your word says in Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Like, man, they got some extra points for that. I didn't even know there was a verse for that, but I'm excited about that. Or maybe if you bind the devil, you get extra points. There's people who say that. I bind the devil in Jesus' name. He's no longer going to do this. We're the head, not the tail. Like, man, they get some extra points for that. If you say, yes, Lord, in the prayer, Jesus, in the prayer, you get extra points for saying that. Praise the Lord. Bind them. Amen. Right? You get extra points. That's what we think. And a lot of times when we're praying, we feel like our prayer is a failure. Like, we feel like, I don't pray like that. I don't pray like Gillette over there. I can't top that. What am I supposed to do? I'm a prayer failure. Sometimes, you ever feel like you're not, it's okay, and you get bored praying? You ever get bored praying? You ever been there? Like, you can nod, it's okay, we can be honest here. We're a messy group of people, we don't have it all together. You get bored praying, and sometimes you're praying like, I don't know, maybe God's bored with my prayer. I don't know, because I'm sure bored with my prayer. And most of the ways that we pray are really safe, right? Lord, bless me. Lord, protect me. Lord, I'm going to tell you one of the most faith-filled prayers you ever pray. Lord, bless my greasy hamburger and greasy fries to the nourishment and strength of my body. That is a faith-filled prayer. You think God's going to turn your greasy hamburger into a healthy choice, right? But we pray these safe prayers, and we pray these routine and mundane prayers. But I want to teach you how to pray dangerous prayers. Because following Jesus is never safe. And when you pray dangerous prayers, it makes you dangerous. It makes you the kind of person that brings heaven to earth. It makes you the kind of person that turns the world of darkness upside down and on its head and allows God to come in and make some powerful changes. So where do we get our dangerous prayers from? Philip actually get them from Scripture. Acts chapter 4, if you're reading through your Bible, go ahead and pull up Acts chapter 4, whether it's on your device or you've got your physical Bible. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. That's where we're going to kind of live. And so here's what's going on. You got Peter and John, and they're going around preaching. And they're preaching powerfully, they're preaching boldly that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came to this earth, he lived a sinless life, and he was brutally murdered by the empire. And after that, here's the great news, he rose from the grave on the third day. Now, if that's not worth shouting for, if that's not worth getting excited for, I don't know what is. That God came to earth, took on our sins, and on the third day conquered all those things with resurrection. And calls us to live a resurrected life. So they're preaching that message and they're ticking people off. And in the middle of ticking them off, they come up to this guy. He has been lame his entire life. Hasn't been able to walk for over 40 years. And what do? They walk up to this guy and they pray for him and he's healed. And it's a miracle. And so it upsets their entire world. The captains of everyone's freaking out. All the religious leaders, the priests, the Sadducees, the captains of the temple guards, they are furious. And they're furious because they think that this is a cult. They think this is like an offshoot of Judaism and they're doing something new and it's heresy and it's not good and it's bad. And so they throw them in jail. They throw these guys in jail. So this is not a good day. They're not having a good day. They go out and preach. They go out and raise a guy from being lame to being able to walk, and now they're in jail. So the next day, Peter and John, they're actually put on trial before the Sanhedrin. And the way the trial would work is they would circle around you and they would ask you all kinds of questions. So they'd grill you. So like the guy behind you is like, and what about this? And the guy at the side of you is like, what about this? And they say, whose authority are you doing this under? What gives you the right to say the things you're saying? You're speaking heresy. Who allows you to do such things? So Peter, here's what he says. I love this. Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel that he was him whom you, by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. Now that's bold. Their life is in the hands of the Sanhedrin in this moment, and they're challenging them. You killed Jesus. So that wasn't the bold part. They knew they killed Jesus. He says, but God raised him from the dead. Now that's bold for two reasons. One, they're saying, you did this, but God came against you. The other thing is, the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection, so it pressed against their theology. They didn't believe in resurrection, so they were very sad, you see. You always remember that, right? Very Sadducee. They didn't believe in resurrection. So the Sadducees were very sad because they didn't believe in resurrection. And Peter has just declared war on them. And then it says that the members of the council were amazed. Everybody say amazed. When they saw their boldness of Peter and John, and they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. So two things. Amazed at it because they were amazed by their boldness. And why were they amazed at it? Because they had no right to be saying what they were saying. Why? Because they were just untrained, unschooled, ordinary guys. Now you're going to love this. The Greek word, and I kid you not, the Greek word that is used here is idiotis, which means untrained, unschooled, unlearned, or it's often translated idiot. So what they're saying is, we are amazed by your boldness, you idiots. Like, they didn't understand. Just these bunch of idiots speaking out things that they shouldn't know anything about, but somehow they have this authority. Somehow they're healing people. They're showing all these miracles. They have this boldness, even though they're idiots. So what happens? Well, there's this dilemma going on. Because there's a guy that was clearly raised up. He was lame. He couldn't walk, and now he can walk. And so they couldn't deny that. And so they're kind of speaking against him, like, I don't know what kind of illusion or magic trick you just did. We don't really know how this guy can all of a sudden walk who couldn't walk before. We don't really understand that. But all we know is, stop preaching. That's a problem because you're preaching heresy. That's how they thought about it. So they said, you need to stop preaching or we're going to beat you, throw you in jail. And if you keep doing it, we're going to kill you. If somebody tells you that, what are you going to do? You're going to pray, right? That's exactly what I'm going to do. Somebody tells me they're going to kill me. Like, oh, Lord, help me. What do I do? Where do I go? Now, before I tell you what they prayed, let me tell you what they didn't pray. They did not pray, Lord, keep me safe. Lord, protect me. Put a hedge of protection around me, we would say. Right? That's not what they prayed. They didn't say, Lord, keep me safe. Keep me free from trouble. Don't let anything bad happen to me. That's not what they prayed. They did not pray, Lord, give me a good 401k. Help my marriage and let me just have a good marriage and let me be just left alone. They didn't say, Lord, just let me keep going to my nice life group and let me just listen to my nice Christian music and let me to grow old and all of my days. Let me just get into church and just do my little praise dance in front of Jesus. They didn't say, Lord, help me to be comfortable in their life. They didn't pray anything like that. But instead, they prayed with the threat of death on their life. They prayed a very dangerous prayer. Prayed a dangerous prayer because following Jesus is never safe. Here's what they said. And now, O Lord, we hear their threats. They're going to kill us. They're going to beat us. They're going to throw us in jail. They're going to separate us from our family. They're going to destroy our lives. And then they said, here's their dangerous prayer. And give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. That's a dangerous prayer. Lord, make me bold. That's a dangerous prayer because I found like when you pray for patience, He doesn't give you patience. He gives you training ground for patience. In other words, He gives you an opportunity that frustrates you and you get to be patient there. So when you pray, Lord, make me bold, He's going to give you opportunities to be bold. But they were unshakable in their convictions. They didn't pray, Lord, keep me safe because they knew why they were here. They had a mission from Jesus to preach the word of God to all the nations and they weren't going to stop. The mission didn't change just because threats came. Lord, their mission was going to be the same. Their convictions told them what to do. And so they said, Lord, we know that this is going to try and come against us. So make us bold so we are empowered to do what you've called us to do. Regardless on what happens around us, it's not going to get in us because something's trying to get through us. Amen? Unshakable. So they had this spiritual urgency that no matter what the obstacle, they were going to preach. And they were amazing people at it. How many people are amazed at your boldness? How many people, when they see your life, they're like, wow, I can't believe. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, the boldness they have. So let's just kind of, I want you to rate yourself for a second. On a scale of 1 to 10, you may write this in your little notes, little handout you got when you came in. Right there on the back, right? 0, 1 to 10, where's your boldness level at? Some of you, you're going to say, I'm a 7 or I'm an 8. Well, you're probably being modest. You're probably closer to a 10. Here's what's true about you if you're bold. People know where you stand. They know what you believe. You pray about it. You're not angry about it. They just know who you are. They know that you have faith. They know that you're someone who prays. They know that you're someone who goes to church. A lot of times they'll respect you because you're not going to just do what everyone else does. You're not swayed by culture. You're standing firm in what you believe. Doesn't matter if people make fun of you. It doesn't matter what people say about you. You're remaining steadfast and true, knowing who you are. And people know it. Now, let's say you're on the lower end. You're a 1, a 2, a 3. You could work the same job for 4 years and someone's amazed when they find out you're a Christian. Because there wasn't anything remarkable about you. There wasn't anything you were doing. You weren't standing up for things. You were saying, hey, we shouldn't really talk like that, guys. You weren't really talking about church. You weren't really asking anyone about prayer. And you meet someone, you're talking to someone at work. You've known them for 4 years. And they're like, I had no idea you were a Christian. That's crazy. That's amazing. I'm a Christian too. What church do you go to? I had no idea. That blows my mind. I'm so glad to find out you're a Christian. I was a little worried about you. You're a little lower on the end. Maybe you're not that bold, Georgia. When I was in high school, me and my friends were kind of radical. So I grew up in Northwest Georgia. I was a kid with blue hair. I listened to punk rock and metal music and all that stuff. But, you know, when you're in Georgia, you still got a little redneck in you, you know? So when you get bored, you find things to do. And me and my friend Travis, me and him were Jesus freaks. That's the word we said to make it sound cool, right? And so I remember Travis, he would often spray paint on the roads, Jesus saves, because we wanted to get the message out there, right? I remember being in science class, and I was so mean and rude to my atheist teacher who was teaching me evolution that one day she pulled me in the hall and she's cussing me out. And I'm like, hashtag persecution. You know what I mean? Truth is, I was being a jerk. I was being an absolute jerk. I remember I had a friend one time. I sat him down and I started reading him out of Revelation all the terrible things that's going to happen to him if he doesn't follow Jesus. Right heart, wrong way of doing it. Let's just say that. So people knew where I stood. Now, that doesn't mean I was perfect. I was not perfect. I'd be cussing someone out one moment. I was up. I was into somebody else the next moment. I was a mess. That's just kind of how high school went for me. I was up. I was down. I was in. I was out. But I had this faith that people knew where I stood. And to this day, like, I've toned it down. I'm not spray painting on streets anymore and doing things like that. But I have a lot of friends who don't know Jesus. I lead book clubs. I talk to my barber about my faith. We're talking about exorcisms this week while I'm in the barber chair. You know what I mean? Like, we're covering all the topics. And I pray with friends and felons alike. Like, if you know me, you know where I stand. Because it was this rule I adopted that helped me kind of balance out my being so radical and weird. Because sometimes you're just weird when you're a teenager. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you this. God's not weird. People are weird, right? Sometimes when he gives you boldness, your weirdness just comes out, right? But God's not weird. He's not calling you to be weird. And something that leveled me out a little bit was someone from InterVarsity, which is a program that exists on college campuses that help people find faith in God. He says, you don't let go of a friendship, you hold both of the gospel. And you don't let go of the gospel for the sake of the friendship. You hold both in tension. And I think that's true. It kind of settles you a little bit. You don't have to get weird. You can say, well, I'm not going to ruin this friendship for the gospel, but I'm also not letting go of the gospel. They're going to know who I am and what I'm about. It's what empowers me to text my friend who's an atheist when his mom's going to the hospital for a stroke and I say, I'm praying for you. And I know what he thinks. He thinks that prayers are just wishes that are never going to happen. But I text him those things. He knows where I stand. That's just how it is. So let me ask you, are people amazed by your boldness? Do they know you're definitely a Christian? Or do they have question marks around it? They have no idea. Acts 4, 29 through 31, it says, and now, O Lord, we hear their threats. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your words. And then they say this, I love this. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through your name, your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, I love this, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Bold, but preach the word of God with boldness. I thought what they were doing before was bold, but apparently it just went up another notch. It went to another level, and miraculous and powerful things started happening. Some of you say, I'm just not a bold person. That's just not who I am. I'm a little timid. I'm a little shy. I talk a little quieter than everybody else. Like, sometimes people, they scare me. Listen, according to Scripture, boldness is not a personality trait. There are personalities that are bold, but according to Scripture, boldness is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Doesn't mean you're always bold. You may be shy, you may be timid most of the time, but it means in certain moments the Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you with boldness to do the miraculous. It'll be the kind of thing where someone says they're going through something and you just blurt out, "Can I pray with you?" And you usually wouldn't do that. But this time you just said it, and now you got to pray with them, and you just do it, and you feel God's presence show up. Or maybe it's so you're talking to someone about your faith, and it just kind of comes up in conversation, and they ask you a question, and you don't know what the answer is, and you give them is. But God just seems to give it to you, just like downloads it right into your brain, and you start explaining it, and you give them a scripture, and you don't even remember fully learning that scripture, but it was just there, as if you'd studied it your whole life, and miraculous things happen the moment you begin to preach. You see, there's something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He empowers you to give exactly what's needed in the moment. And sometimes that's boldness. After this prayer, this moment, make us bold, they didn't go out, though, and like try and build up their boldness. They didn't put it on. They didn't try and make it happen. They didn't put on their pump-up song in their earbuds. And like, yeah, here we go. Going to get bold. That's not what happened. It's not something you put on. It's something the Holy Spirit does through you. So sometimes people don't understand the Holy Spirit. They just leave the Holy Spirit in certain categories. He comforts us. He guides us. He gifts us. He draws us. But he also makes us bold. He makes us bold in a way that shakes the foundations of the culture we're in. He makes us bold in a way that shakes people, fierces doubts about God, and helps people to find God. So make me bold. They experience his power, and they go out, and they're preaching, and they're teaching. They're doing signs and wonders, and people are getting saved, and people are getting baptized, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're doing signs and wonders. You see, if you pray, "Lord, make me bold," he will give you the opportunity to be bold. But there's different ways to be bold, right? There's different ways to be bold. Some of you are thinking, "Well, I don't know about all this. Does this mean like this week, you know, when I'm giving my presentation at work, you know, going through the PowerPoints and like I'm talking about why we should make this deal at the end, I should show like Jesus on the cross and be like, 'You should get saved or you're going to hell?'" No, maybe not. Probably not that. Probably not that. But here's what it could look like for you. It's you saying to somebody, "Can I pray for you?" And really meaning it. You may not pray with them in the moment, but later you're going to pray for them. You put them on your list, you pray for them. Maybe you living boldly is you dressing modestly in a culture that dresses scandalously. Maybe for you, it's you're not going to partake in the hookup culture. Other people are hooking up and doing their thing, and you're like, "Well, that's okay. That you can do. So going to save. That's not really what I'm called to. I'm called to live a little differently than that. And so, in fact, I'm actually going to save myself for marriage." For you, it's you're going to read the Bible when other people discredit the Bible. For you, it might be that you're going to listen to Christian music even when your friends are in the car. For you, it might be that there's some movies that you're just not going to watch and someone's going to invite you to go see it. You're like, I can't watch stuff like that. It's just me. I'm not telling you what to do, but for me, I can't do that. Maybe for you, it's you're going to pray with a coworker in the office. And as odd as that may seem, that might be something you do. You're working at the same place. They tell you something that's going on and you stop and you pray. That's a bold thing to do. For you, it might be that you're going to start giving radically. You start serving one day a month at Second Harvest. And people are like, "Why do you do that?" It's like, "I don't know. Jesus just gave me so much. Why wouldn't I give other people things? Why wouldn't I care for others? Jesus came to serve me. Why wouldn't I serve other people?" And it becomes this moment where you're able to share your faith because you're already being bold. Maybe for you, it's you decide that you're going to take one of these with you. That says you're invited and you're going to bring someone. Not just invite somebody, but you're going to bring someone to church with you. You're talking to a friend, a family member, a loved one who's far from God but near to you. You say, "My church starts at 11. Would you come with me? I'll save you a seat. And I'll buy you lunch after." There's just something that happens when you promise people food, right? Like, it's a really great way to get people to come to things. So invite them, bring them. What would happen if this week you set a reminder on your phone, alarm to go off every day, that just says, "Pray for boldness." And every day you took a moment and you said, "Lord, make me bold." I guarantee you, you'd start seeing your world change. You start seeing your friends and your family members change. You start seeing your work environment change. You would start seeing heaven come to earth through you. So, Peter and John, they keep preaching. All kinds of people are getting saved. The high priest, the religious leaders, they're furious. They can't believe what's going on. And so they can't handle it. So the way it worked in Rome was they would kind of leave the Jewish people to kind of settle their own disagreements. They had their own, like, police, because what happened, their own little jail and all that stuff. That was the first jail they went to. Now Rome's stepping in, because what happens in an empire is there's one value above all other values in an empire, and that's peace. And if you disrupt peace, the empire kind of comes in and they step in, and they're serious. They will kill you for disrupting peace. And so a whole group of people in the empire are freaking out, and it's the Jews. They can't stand what's going on. And so the empire wants to keep peace with the Jews, so what do? They're going to arrest these guys. So they arrest them, and it says this in verse 18. They arrested the apostles, and they put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. We're going to go into that in a minute. That's one of the funniest scriptures for me, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But there's three attributes I want you to grab hold of having to do with boldness. Boldness will always trigger spiritual opposition. When you're bold, it's going to trigger spiritual opposition. Peter and John, they're preaching boldly that Jesus raised from the dead, and that the rest of the apostles admit you could have a right relationship with God. And here's what it says in verse 18. They arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail. That's the second time this week. Like, they're not having a good week. They're trying to do it and they keep getting stopped. They're trying to do it, they keep getting stopped. Now, most of us, if we're doing the right thing and bad things happen, what do we say? Well, where's God? Why do bad things happen to good people? And we freak out, right? We're almost about to lose our faith when bad things happen to us. But they prayed a dangerous prayer. They said, make me bold. Now, here's the deal. When you are bold with your faith, some people are going to laugh at you. When you're bold with your faith, some people are going to criticize you. Oh, you think that? I can't believe you think that. Don't you know? I can't believe you. I thought you were smarter than that. People will say crazy stuff. They're going to talk bad about you. Can you believe what they did? I saw them pray with somebody. Don't they know, like, prayer is just... they're just wishing. That's not real. Like, I can't believe they believe in God. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to talk bad about you. You might be home alone being bold. When you start living for Jesus with boldness, you might be home alone on Saturday night. When you start preaching Jesus boldly in your witness in school, you're not cheating on the test. When people ask you why not, you say, I'm a follower of Christ. They're going to make fun of you. You're not going to be in the end crown. When you stand up for your faith at work, someone's doing something, they're talking trash about somebody. They're calling people names. They're telling dirty jokes. And you say, we shouldn't do that, guys. That's not right for this place in the world. We just don't do that. That's not good. You might get passed over for the promotion. And you may think in that moment, like, where's God? And God's saying, I see where you're at. I see what you're doing. And it's good. You see, Jesus, he may be dangerous, but he's always good. He may be dangerous, but he's always good. If you're not ready, and this is a hard statement, if you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience, then you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to face some obstacles, to face people coming against you because of your obedience, then maybe you're not ready to be used by God. It's part of it. It's a dangerous prayer. It really is. Make me bold. Because boldness will always trigger spiritual opposition. The second thing is that, and you're going to like this one. The first one is hard, I get it. Second one you're going to like. Boldness often releases God's miracles. They were seeing miracles, signs, and wonders over and over and over again. They were seeing people get saved, people healed, people raised from the dead, connected with their boldness. When you live faith, you're often going to see God move in miraculous ways around you. So I told you that scripture was funny for me, and I'll explain why. So here's what it says, verse 19. But the angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and he brought them out. There's no exclamation point there. Like, what he didn't say was, and you won't believe what happened next. Like, they're put in the jail, it's damp and it's dark, and in the moment where they thought there was no hope, you won't believe it. Just hold on to your seats, it's coming. What happened was this giant angel with seven wings kicked the eyes blazing like fire and a sword the size of a Honda Accord broke in and kicked the door in and came in and said, baby, we're getting out of here. That's not what they said. Luke just like casually writes it in. And he just says, and that night he came and he opened the gates of the jail and he brought them out. Why? Why would Luke be so casual about this? Because when you pray, make me bold, and you live a bold kind of life, miracles are second nature. They just follow. It says signs and wonders follow those who believe. You've got to lead the way, but signs and wonders will follow you. It's going to be evidence. When you're living a bold life, signs and wonders just follow you. Angels just show up. Miracles just happen. You're praying and the sick recover. The blind begin to see. Peace begins to come between two people who were at odds with each other. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. When you believe, you're bold. When you believe, your faith is backed up by your actions. So Scripture says, faith without works is dead. Your faith has to work. Your faith has to have boldness connected with it. You don't have to muster it up. You don't have to try and put it on. You don't have to try and get your amp up on. You have to pray, God, make me bold. And when you step out in faith, He's going to give you the boldness you need. He shows up. He's faithful. He's faithful in those moments. Sometimes you'll be praying out loud and you run out of the words and He gives you the words to pray. Sometimes you hear, you know this person needs to hear about the love of Christ, and normally you wouldn't say anything, but on that day you said something and they said, how do I find Christ? And you tell them. And you didn't really know all that before. You didn't really understand it before, but you just stepped out and you just did it. That's boldness. Miracles come when you're obedient to God. And the third one is this. Boldness always requires faith. It always requires faith. You pray, make me bold. You're going to have to live by faith. You're not going to get all the details. You're not going to understand it up front. You're going to have to just trust that God knows exactly what He's doing. Larry, if you can come to the instrument. The angel says this. Go to the temple and give these people the message of life. He's like, all right, boys, get back to work. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told, and they immediately began teaching. The angel says, go do what you were arrested twice for doing. Go do what they told you. They're going to beat you senseless. They're going to throw you in jail again, and they're probably going to kill you. Go do that again. That's what he tells them. There was this moment a few months ago. It was getting close to Easter, and I was praying for you. Praying for our church. I was praying for the people that you'd invite, that we'd see attend. I was praying for salvations. I was walking in our neighborhood over here. And I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to make a social post and put it on the internet. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think a lot, like I haven't posted in a long time. I don't even know if like people pay attention to these things. And some of the things I wanted to say, I didn't know how it would go over. I thought maybe some Christians might not like things up in the air I said. Other people who don't follow Christ, they may not like what I just said. I didn't know. There were some things up in the air for me with it. I just felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to go ahead and post it. And so I made the video. I posted it online. And it turns out it got a lot of views. A lot of people paid attention to it. It was interesting to a lot of people. And that's fine. I mean, you shouldn't post just to get all the likes. You know what I mean? That's not why you should post. But I thought the message was meaningful, so I put it out there. A couple of days later, a weekend had passed, and someone sends me a message on Facebook. This guy's name is Alan. He knew me when I was crazy in high school. He knew me as the blue-haired guy that cussed and preached, and he knew me as the guy that would cheat on tests sometimes, and then other times would be like, no, I'm not watching that movie. That's bad. He knew me in all of my craziness, but he knew what I stood for. And he said this. He says, you know, I don't usually see you on my feed, but I saw the video that you posted the other day. And I haven't been in church for a long time. But when I saw that video, and so God spoke directly to me and told me I needed to go to church. And so I did. And I started following Jesus again. You never know what one bold thing will do in the lives of those who are around you. I had no idea. I hadn't thought about this guy in 20-something years. But God did something miraculous in that moment that changed his life because I posted a video, which is a pretty low bar. Like, I'm not being threatened to be arrested or killed. I'm not losing my job over this. I might just have a little bit of embarrassment, a comment I don't like. But just that simple act of obedience allow miracles to come in you because you have no idea what God might set in motion from a simple act of obedience. When you pray a dangerous prayer, Lord, make me bold, it's not always going to make sense what you're asked to do. You're not going to have all the details. It might cost you something. But no matter what, it's always going to require your faith. It's beautiful. How were Peter and John rewarded for their obedience? Well, let me tell you their story. It's a beautiful story, Peter and John. So Peter, he marries his high school sweetheart. And John, he meets a girl on the internet, and they fall in love. and they're both equally in love, and they go on their honeymoons. One goes to Cancun, the other goes to the Bahamas, and they're married and they're living happily. And because of their preaching career has just gone so well, and they've healed so many people, they start a consulting firm, and they make more money than they ever dreamed of making. And in fact, they made so much money, they got to retire at 50. And they were able to raise their grandkids. And they bought a home in the mountains and lived happily ever after. No. That's not what happened. How were they rewarded? Well, we actually learn, contemporary historians, they tell us that John, they were going to kill him. And so they took oil and they heated it up to boiling. And they put him in the oil. This normally kills people. It didn't kill John. They pull him out. So they do it again. It doesn't kill him. They do it a third time. It doesn't kill him. So they exile him to an island called Patmos. He's going to be away from his family the rest of his life. He's going to die alone. Peter, what we know from first century church is that Peter was going to be crucified for preaching Jesus. And what tradition tells us is that Peter said, no, no, no. I can't die the same way my Lord did. Crucify me upside down. And they did. It's a dangerous prayer to say, make me bold. Boldness will always come with opposition. If you're facing opposition, you're probably doing the right thing. And if you're not facing opposition, you probably could be a little more bold. You probably could be a little more bold. You see, why would you ever want to be bold? I know what Christ did for me. I know the difference He made in my life. He was bold on my behalf. He left heaven and came to earth. Not only did He do that, but He died a criminal's death so that I could be free. If He's willing to do that for me, I'm willing to pray, Lord, make me bold. Because I can't muster up enough boldness to do the things Christ is going to call me to do. I need Him to make me bold because I'm scared. I need Him to make me bold because I'm not courageous. I need Him to make me bold. I need Him to empower me because I don't have the power, I don't have the strength to bring heaven to earth the way that He can. I need Him to make me bold. I need Him to fill me with His Spirit. You see, boldness to believe God is going to ensue this flood of miracles in your life. Remember, signs and wonders follow those who believe. I believe that when you start praying this prayer, you're going to have boldness in the right moment, in the right way to invite someone to church. Sometimes people are and they're going to say yes. I believe you're going to have boldness to share your faith. And sometimes people are going to accept Christ. And sometimes they're going to make fun of you. And sometimes it's going to hurt. But you're going to be okay because you've been empowered with boldness. And it's not going to stop you the way it used to stop you. You see, you're never going to fulfill your calling in your comfort zone. You're never going to be who you're supposed to be living in your comfort zone. You are made for such great things. You are made for greatness. You have no idea what God might set in motion by your act of obedience with boldness. During our 21 days of prayer, you're going to be praying for things. You're going to be praying for people. You got people in your heart and your mind that you want to see their lives made better by the message of the gospel. But you've got to remember, it's a pretty weak prayer if you're just asking God to do something that you're not willing to help with. A strong prayer if you say, Lord, give me the power to help. Give me the ability to make a difference. That's a strong prayer. That's a bold prayer. I want to pray for you today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your words that are so strong, that are so true, that show us how then should we live. Lord, I pray that You would stir boldness inside of us. I pray You would do something miraculous through us. I pray we wouldn't shrink back. I pray we wouldn't hide. But I pray we would have a bold faith that shakes the culture, that shakes the world around us. We pray, Lord, today that the world would never be the same because we are here. In Jesus' name, amen. For everyone, if you'd look at me for a second, I'm going to give you a practice test for just a minute. It's dangerous to be bold out there. it's safe to be bold in here for Christ, right? Like this is, it's easy here. You raise your hands during worship, people celebrate you. You say amen, people are like, yeah, get it. You know what I mean? People like the Bible here. People don't like the Bible out there. You get, there's a difference. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to practice your boldness. Christ said this, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who's in heaven. In other words, he's saying, you got to be able to stand for me now because I stood for you. You got to be able to stand for me now. And so with your eyes open this week, I want to ask you this question. Are you someone who says, I either do follow Christ, or today I'm choosing to follow Christ? One of those. I'm choosing to follow Christ, or I do follow Christ. And I want to be more bold. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be more bold. If that's you, slip your hand up right now all across the room. It's easy to be bold here. This is your first step. I'm going on record. Someone could ask you about it this week. We're going to talk about it in life group. How are you bold this week? What did you do? You went on record. This is the safe kind of boldness. And I had you do that right now so that you can remember this week. Be an opportunity. Said, I want to be more bold. And you're going to remember that. Because there's going to be an opportunity. If you pray that prayer, Lord, make me bold. That's what you just signified by raising your hands. Lord, make me bold. You're going to have at least one opportunity to be bold. And you're going to remember, I raised my hand then. I can do this now. You've got this. Why do you have it? Because you got all the answers? No. You've got this because the Holy Spirit will empower you to be bold. It's one of the prayers that God always answers. Lord, make me bold. He'll show up. Another prayer he always answers, Lord, save me. He'll always show up in that moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the boldness you're going to give us this week. I pray, Lord, that we would steward it well. I pray, Lord, that you would light us up on the inside out. I pray, Lord, it'd be like the prophet said. It was like fire shut up in our bones. I pray, Lord, you would help us to see moments of destiny, moments of opportunity, and that we wouldn't shrink back, but we would step out in faith, trusting you for it, and we would see the miraculous happen. I pray we would see people saved this week. I pray we would pray with people and they wouldn't be sick anymore. They wouldn't have aches and pains to live for you. They wouldn't have hate in their heart. They would be free and they would forgive and they would live for you. I pray, Lord, this week that you would do great things through us because of us praying this faith-filled prayer today. Make me bold. In Jesus' name. I'm proud of you. This was a big step today. Your faith is going to go to the next level this week, I have no doubt. If you would stand with me as we close out today, prayer team, if you'd please come. What an opportunity that would be missed if during the first day of 21 days of prayer and fasting, you didn't let someone pray with you about something that's going on in your life. What an opportunity that would be missed. So as we close out right now, it's singing one more worship song. I want to encourage you. You already got things you're going to be praying for during 21 days of prayer that's personal. We've got initiatives that are going to be very much what God's doing in our community, what he's doing through our church. We know that things you're believing God for. That's why you're fasting. Lord, bring heaven to earth in this situation. We know that there is more power when we pray together than we pray alone. So continue with your steps of boldness today. I want to encourage you. If you got things you're praying about, don't pray alone. Let our prayer team pray with you. We're going to allow that. We're going to allow that. What's going to happen while we sing? But all of us, let's worship. Heavenly Father, in these next few moments, I pray heaven would kiss earth. We would see your hand move in powerful ways. We'd see things begin in the Spirit today that will play itself out over the next few days. And we will see these prayers completely answered. We believe that. In Jesus' name, amen. Come forward for prayer. Worship with us. We're going to let prayer continue to happen for just a minute. We're going to go ahead and close out the rest of the service for everyone else in the room. The way we close out each week is there's a prayer that we all pray together. And it's a very intentional prayer. It's something that comes from a lot of vision of who we believe God's calling us to be. We're not just the church that gathers. We're the church that scatters. Every Sunday we come together and it's inspirational. God moves and God stirs. But then we're supposed to take what God does in us today and live it out throughout the rest of the week. So this prayer is a prayer that's not just keep us here, it's to send us there. So send us into our community, our world around us. So we're going to put this prayer on the screen. And I want us to all pray it together. So if you would turn your eyes to the screen, let's pray it out loud together. Lord, we thank you for giving us today. Pray it with me and giving us each other. Help us to apply everything we've learned today in our daily lives. You've put each of us here on purpose. Help us to be kind as we love one another. Help us to be bold as we share our faith. And help us to be strong as we live for you every day. Keep us safe and bring us back together again next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited that you've chosen to spend your Sunday with us. We know you could have been anywhere. You chose to be here, and that's a big deal. Something you may not know about today, we're starting 21 days of prayer and all that stuff, but it's also International Ice Cream Day. Did you know that? So today, to kind of celebrate, we're having ice cream sundaes right now in the lobby. So if you want to head out as we close out, then we'll have some ice cream sundaes. We'll spend time, get to know someone you didn't know. But give it up for our praise team for the great job they did today. And we'll see you in the lobby.